crazy porks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy, scatly-dee-bop, shabba-dooey. You'll revel in hilarity. It's pork therapy.
Hello.
Hi there.
Oh, God.
You did it first.
You did it first.
Oh, please.
Ooh, I feel a little bit... I have the willies.
Well, then maybe we shouldn't introduce ourselves.
Okay. I'll just scurry off into the shadows.
Okay, that was the show. Thanks for listening.
By the way, this creeper sitting next to me is Mike.
What? This isn't a creeper. That's Stephanie who gets creeped out too easily.
Yeah, exactly. No, you are not a creeper in the least, but that voice just... Ooh.
And together, we are Pork Therapy.
We sure are. We make a great team, Mike.
Yay.
And, of course, if you want to hear our past episodes, you can go to porctherapy.com.
Yep.
And check out everything out. There's just a wealth of knowledge there.
A wealth of knowledge.
Or something.
If you
a wealth
know
of entertainment.
Any of it, you'll become wealthy.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think so.
Exactly wrong. Not...
Yeah, exactly wrong. Right. Anyway,
you just said exactly wrong, right? And it reminded me.
I know,
and, hey, we're on a tangent already.
Wow,
it
what
reminded
do you know?
Me of people who respond when you're in a conversation and they're back and forth,
mm-hmm.
and they say something like, "No, no, no, yeah, you're right."
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's
weird.
So confusing.
It's such a pet peeve when they say no, yeah, to the same response. Anyway.
Yeah, I wonder why people do that. Like, are they just in the habit of saying no immediately to
No, him? Because I've heard it both directions. I've heard, yeah, 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 no, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they, I don't know, it's like the words, I don't know, it's very odd.
You know, I just realized something which is kind of interesting. So someone in my family, my grandfather, says no to everything. Like, if you ask him a question, his first gut reaction will be to say no, like, immediately, no matter what it is. Like, are you hungry? No. Do you want some water? No. Like, everything
right.
is no. Are you going to say yes? No. Yeah, like, that kind of thing.
You should ask him if he's going to say no. That'll throw him off.
Yeah, well, funny enough, you know, my mother and my grandmother used to, I remember them talking about this a lot and saying, you know, complaining about it, essentially. Oh, every time you ask him a question, that's the only thing he says. He always says no to everything. He won't even listen to you. He just says no. See, I think when someone has a knee-jerk reaction of saying no, no matter what someone else asks,
mm-hmm.
I think that may indicate that they have not had their needs for autonomy met throughout most of their lives. Because what do kids do when a kid wants to assert their autonomy?
Mm-hmm.
The first thing they do is say no, right? Go to bed, no.
I suppose.
You know?
Okay.
Brush your teeth, no.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they may not really want to say no, but at least they're claiming sovereignty over their own
they
choices.
Say, yeah, I guess so. I mean, they would say no to authority, commands
right.
to do something, but... Do you want you to open your Christmas presents now? I guess they'd say no if they didn't feel autonomous and were trying to assert themselves. I guess that's your point.
Right. Well, if they think that the questions that are being asked to them are not really questions, but are more like demands
yeah.
than requests
mm.
or questions, I think that it would be a perfectly natural reaction to kind of assert that autonomy by saying no. I don't know. Just a thought.
It is. And I don't want to blow a hole in your theory, but and this may not,
mm-hmm.
but I've known kids...
Blow me. Go ahead.
Woo-hoo, different episode. I've known kids who say no to things that is obvious they want to say yes to,
mm-hmm.
To play or to get toys or to go get pizza or whatever,
yep.
when they've normally said yes to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they say no simply because they're unhappy, not necessarily because they haven't had their needs met mm-hmm. for 10 years, but
mm-hmm.
because they're really pissed off at the moment.
Yeah.
So there could be other reasons.
Oh, sure, there could be other reasons.
All right.
Maybe some of that was coming from... Just knowing these people and
yeah.
knowing that...
That's probably what it is.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. So anyway, enough about my...
Right.
family.
Enough about your grandfather, whose name is and whose social security number is and who lives
in. Yeah, right. Okay. I wouldn't do that to the poor old man. He's already not had his needs for autonomy met his whole life. You're going to give out his social security number, too.
It wouldn't matter, because if someone said, hey, is this your social security number? He'd say no.
This is turning out to be kind of a funny tangent, but we do actually have a question to get to. And
actually, we have some feedback first.
Oh, yes, we do have some feedback. So speaking of kids and parents.
That's right.
We actually got some feedback on our swearing episode that we did. I guess we can put a link to that in the show notes. I don't remember what number it was, but was that we didn't do that internet only, right? We did that on Liberty Radio Network.
I don't recall. We might have made that internet only. We'll put a link to it nonetheless.
Yeah.
But I don't remember.
I can't remember what we did. I think we did a whole episode on swearing without actually swearing. And for those of you who haven't been listening to the show long enough to know, Mike has a dirty little secret. He likes to replace curse words on the show with stage.
On the show? No, in my life.
And in your life, I guess. That's true.
I don't think words commonly thought of as bad words are bad. I don't think words are bad.
Yeah.
But to, I guess make a joke about it, one word that I think is bad is state.
Because of what it represents.
Yeah, it's the one bad evil thing in the world. So I try and replace them all with state, like...
State you, Mother Stater.
Yeah. Right.
That's basically what you said on that whole show that we recorded. I remember that. It was filled with Mother Staters and all that kind of good stuff. So anyway. And shizzle. That's right.
Shizzle my nizzle.
So we got some feedback from that episode from a dad. Yeah, I thought this feedback was really cool anyway. Yeah. There was a dad who wrote to us and said, we'll paraphrase what he said, but basic because he wants to be anonymous, but basically, we got some feedback from a dad whose 7 or 8 year old daughter asked him about the word bitch. And I think we can say that on the radio, right? As long as we're not tantalizing about it or whatever the FCC's dumb rules are.
Right.
So his daughter asked him about the B word that was bad. And
actually, did she know it was bad or did she say, what is this word?
She did. She specifically said, I don't even think she said she said bitch. Oh. She said, Daddy, what's the B word that's a bad word or something like... She was asking about it in that manner.
Okay.
So she didn't even... She was afraid to even say it. Mm. So his daughter asked about this and he said, well, he was inclined to just say, as he thought probably his spouse would have said and his parents would have said and all the other parents... And he would have said in the past. He was inclined to just say like, well, you shouldn't say that word and leave it at that. However, he thought about our swearing episode and he thought about Pork Therapy that he's been listening to recently.
Yay, thank you. He said,
okay, well, you know, I think I'm going to give a little bit more enlightened response and be a little more honest with my daughter. And when I heard that, I was applauding in my mind. I was really happy.
Definitely.
So what he actually ended up saying to his daughter was, well, words are not bad, but some people, they can hurt some people's feelings, which I think is totally appropriate way to explain.
I would have phrased it differently, but
what would you have said?
Words can't hurt people's feelings, like you know. Uh-huh. People choose to have their feelings hurt. What I would have said and what I have said to kids in my life is, words aren't bad, but some people don't like them.
Okay, well, that makes
some people
sense.
Don't like some words.
Sure.
You'll offend some people.
Yeah, I think that gets a pretty similar point
It's almost
identical,
yeah.
So he said, you know, words aren't bad, but some people don't like them or some people get their feelings hurt.
Yep.
And then he explained where that word comes from, that it used to be a word to describe a female dog, but then it became a derogatory word about women that people use, you know, to say bad things about women. So he explained that the word, you know, words can't be bad. It's just basically how people hear them and interpret them.
Or use them, yeah.
Or use them, and it can have the capacity to trigger hurt feelings, I guess, in some people. And then he explained the word honestly and gave them an idea why this might be a word that some people might not like to hear. And I thought that was awesome.
I thought it was fantastic. I mean, if you think about what's probably, hopefully, going on in that girl's mind, it's something to the effect, or here's two scenarios. Don't say that word. It's a bad word.
Right.
She's probably going to go around saying it to all her friends because it's bad and it's cool, and you know she's an adult.
Or she'll just be totally confused and scared out of her mind. What happens if I say this word? Oh my god. Yeah.
Or she hears, oh, it's a word that people have used to hurt other people. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to say that.
Right. Yeah, and hopefully the people in her life, like her parents and her dad, and maybe brothers and sisters or whatever, she has the kind of connection and relationship with them where she doesn't want to hurt their feelings, and yeah. so she wouldn't want to say that word to them.
Yeah, I applaud the effort. It was great.
Me too. So cool. Very, very cool honesty there. Mm-hmm. I always like it when we get those stories.
Yeah.
You know, that somebody actually heard what we said and thought it was useful or worthwhile and used it. That's awesome. So cool.
Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah, thanks for letting us know. We appreciate that feedback. And we did have another question that actually relates to parents and children as well this episode, right, Mike?
Yes.
We're talking a lot about that recently.
Parents and children?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. So we have a question about circumcision, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of a pet issue for me. I'm going to try to avoid making any horrible puns like off with their heads or whatever, or you know,
too late.
Yeah, may the foreskin be with you, or you know, things like that. I'm just gonna get them all out of my system right now. But this is actually kind of a special or pet issue to me. I've written about this before, and although I'm not a man and I don't have this body part that is traditionally circumcised or mutilated, as I think is more accurate way to describe it, in the U.S. and many other countries. I think it's really important to stand up for the baby boys who can't defend themselves in this situation, because really it is a terrible thing. You know, it's removing someone else's body part without their consent, where there's clearly no very clear health benefits to it. Right. Yeah. There may be a tiny benefit, but there are also numerous risks to it as well. And we actually covered that in a previous episode where we had a doctor, actually an OB/GYN.
Two different episodes.
Who went through all the risks and benefits of circumcision after doing a thorough review of the literature, which was really cool. I appreciated having that. So we'll link to that in the show notes as well. But yeah, so, I mean, and of course, it's not around the world. You know, in the U.S. and these developed countries and many undeveloped countries, too, there's this issue of circumcising baby boys, which is removing their foreskin at a very young age, usually. But there's also this thing called female, quote, circumcision, which is something that happens typically in third world countries where they literally slice off most of the external genitalia of baby girls as well. Or not just baby girls, actually. I think it's more girls that are kind of like preteen age, which is even worse. And it's, of course, done in extremely non-sterile techniques. It's extremely painful. A lot of the girls die from infections, and it's brutal. It's horrible.
Ruins sex.
Yeah, and even their ability to, like, use the bathroom. I mean, it's just so egregious, and my heart really goes out to those girls, and it's a complete atrocity. And while it may be a difference of degrees between that and what's typically done to baby boys, you know, in a sterile environment, removing the foreskin, I still think it's similar. It's along the same vein. It's doing something. It's hurting a child. It's removing a perfectly good part of their body without their consent, and usually for a superstitious reason that typically has to do with religion or some kind of moray like that.
I would say it's based on faith always, because it's either religion or your faith
in medical.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That the doctor knows what's best or whatever.
Right, for your kid.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just awful. I guess we'll answer this question, asker's question, before we even read it. But on this show, neither one of us is for circumcision, I think, in any circumstance, except maybe, you know, if it was... There's one, I guess, condition where...
Don't circumvent the issue. How many of those can we come up with? Circumcision, circumstance.
I don't know. That's the third one, yeah. I didn't even do circumstance in purpose, but you picked it up. That was great, Mike. Circumlocution.
Locution, that's the word. Okay.
We just have a massive vocabulary on the show. I love it.
I have half of a massive vocabulary, apparently, because I can only remember half of every
word.
Well,
I have the other half.
Oh,
so
there we go.
That's fine. We complement each other. Yeah, I was saying that I couldn't really think of any circumstance in which circumcision could be appropriate, except, you know, there are some, not to get too graphic here, but there are some conditions where the foreskin gets excessively tight, I guess. And
you can't think of any case except for this when it would be appropriate.
Yeah.
You mean to a baby, not
to a baby or anyone.
About an adult who wants to do it to themselves, wants to have it done.
Oh, okay. Well, you're right about that.
Okay.
I think I should have or did say it. I couldn't think of any situation where it would be appropriate to do to a child who couldn't consent. But yeah, you're absolutely right, Mike. If a man, an adult man who can, who is capable of consenting to this surgery, wants to do it, that's totally fine with us.
Yeah.
Our issue is the inability of the baby to consent.
Right.
And of course, you know, just to play devil's advocate here, a baby couldn't consent either if it was in a life-threatening, it had a life-threatening infection, it couldn't consent to getting antibiotics, right?
But right, in that but there's case, a difference.
Yes, its life is clearly in danger.
And the procedure is scientifically, logistically proven to help.
Yeah, exactly. And the risks are clearly, clearly outweighed by the benefits.
Right.
Whereas circumcision, it's dubious at best, and it really seems, if you analyze the numbers like our medical doctor friend did, that it really does not make sense to circumcise babies. Mm. So should we read the question?
We should.
I guess we can read it and comment it as we go.
We could. Right? I think you should read it because of the postscript.
Okay.
Which is addressed to you.
Yes. Okay. Yes. This is addressed to my grammar anarchist comment, right?
Or we could just hit the postscript first. Whatever. It's a prescript. It just says PS. Maybe it's a prescript. All right, we'll get
I was going to make a horrible joke, but I'm not going to. Never mind. I fall flat. Okay, so here's the question. Hello, Mike and Stephanie. Something that has been bothering me lately is the practice of newborn circumcision. Where did this originate from? So let's jump in here.
Religion.
Yeah. One of the many damaging effects of holding this superstitious, fixed, false beliefs that it's okay to cut off a piece of a boy's body because... an old book says that you should.
Yeah.
It's absurd
this
when you think about it.
This is a specific religion. I guess everything that we refer to is a specific religion, but this one's Judaism. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I think Islam as well espouses
really?
It. Yes, yes. So, I mean, what if there was a new religion? Like, what if Scientologists suddenly decided
to cut
that
off the left breast?
Or to use an even like more innocuous example, to cut off the left earlobe.
Okay.
That was a ritual thing that should be done to all Scientologists to mark them as in the eyes of God.
When they're babies.
Yeah, when they're babies.
Right.
You know, I'm sure they would say...
have an uproar.
Yeah, people would probably say that, oh, this is horrible, you can't let this happen, this child abuse and all this stuff. But it's essentially the same thing. It's a body part that's kind of hanging out, not
doing much.
Doing much, on the surface, anyway.
The lobe? What happens in the lobe?
The earlobe?
Yeah. Does something actually happen there? Maybe it helps cool you down.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. And it holds earrings. Yeah, actually.
But it's similar to male circumcision in that there's no health reason for it to cut it off.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, you know, Mike, when you're trying to wash beyond your earlobe, it gets really tough. I mean, whew, that takes some special training to wash behind your earlobes.
Well, that's a great metaphor, yeah.
I've thought about this before.
That's scary.
Yeah, so, I mean, yes, I think we could all agree that people would find that very silly if Scientologists suddenly started cutting off baby boys' earlobes. And, of course, I guess, doesn't the Church of Scientology kind of sue people if they use their word? So maybe we should change that to something else.
Nah, I'm not scared.
Okay. Well, I ain't scared either.
Scientology.
Yes, fine.
Fianceologist.
Fianceologist.
Yes.
All right. Okay, so what if Fianceologists suddenly started cutting off their baby boys' earlobes? I think people would get into an uproar about this.
Yep, absolutely. And they wouldn't even see the hypocrisy, assuming they're those who mm-hmm. believe in circumcision. They wouldn't even see...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that's their tradition that they grew up with.
That's okay. That's been done for thousands of years.
Yeah, because if it's old,
said.
It makes it good.
Yeah. That should be a show, because that pisses me off.
Oh, tradition?
A tradition for the sake of tradition, or if it's old, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, we'll write it on our show prep. Okay, so then the question asker goes on, how could parents who claim to love their children agree to circumcising them? Well,
that's a loaded question.
That is a loaded question, although I think that most parents who do circumcise their children do actually love them.
Sure.
They just have unfortunate beliefs.
Yes.
Or mistaken.
I mean, how could someone who claims to love their children lie to them about Santa Claus? Or God?
Yeah. Yep.
You know,
or how could someone who claims to love their children send them to government school or religious indoctrination?
It's because they are misinformed or they, you know, to the best of their ability, that's the best thing, the way they can express their love.
Right.
They think it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. So actually education would be the thing here.
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely true. I mean, you got to believe that parents are almost pretty much always coming from a place of love. And if they do understand fully that, hey, this procedure, this surgery is not going to benefit your child and it could hurt your child and it's painful for the child who you love, then I think they might be likely to change their minds about it. And that's one of the reasons that we're doing this show and that I've written about this before.
Yeah. In fact, our first show on circumcision was a woman who wanted to convince her sister not to circumcise her baby. Her sister was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out. So for tips on how to talk to people about this, go listen to our past show.
Sure, sure. And I believe we even had a circumcision, somewhat of an expert.
Yes.
Yeah, on someone who has been in... an intactivist, as yes. he calls himself, for many, many years. So it's an entertaining show and loaded with facts. So, okay, the question asker goes on, if someone wants to be circumcised, then that should be that person's decision and not the decision of anyone else. I totally agree.
Ditto.
Okay.
And some people might say, well, a baby can't make that decision. Then I would say, then don't cut off his penis and let him decide when he's older.
Right. Yes, exactly. If a baby can't make that decision, then...
then don't...
you know, wait until he can make that decision.
Yes, exactly.
Don't intervene in the meantime. Just leave things be. As long as he's not being harmed by it, and it doesn't seem like... things that people are born with generally don't tend to harm them.
Right.
his pinky toe's not hurting him. His earlobe is not harming him. You know, leave it be. Okay, so... then he goes on, how could someone who was circumcised without his or her consent trust the parents who gave the healthcare professional permission to do the operation?
Again, I think that's kind of a loaded question.
Yeah, I can see the question asker's passion and outrage because I feel the same thing.
And I see the point.
Yes.
Because someone did something to you without your permission.
Yeah, it's kind of maybe feels like a betrayal.
Right.
Yeah.
Or at least aggression.
Yeah.
But consider... you know, when a baby is 2-3 weeks old or however, when they get circumcised, they don't have any language or reason ability yet. And their parents, you know, let's say betray their trust in this manner by circumcising them.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the next 15-20 years, the parents are really healthy and communicative and trustworthy and all that. Then odds are strongly on the side of, I'm going to trust my parents.
Sure.
So that's one way.
Unfortunately, it's not that often that parents are... very open and honest with their kids and
right.
very trustworthy anyway, unless
no.
unless they're aware of this kind of stuff and
right.
have made efforts to improve on that kind of thing. However, I did just want to mention, I wonder if there are any listeners in our audience, and please write to us questions@porktherapy.com or call us at 419-PT-LOVE-4 if you have had this experience. But I wonder if there are any male listeners in our audience who have essentially talked to their parents about being circumcised and how that has impacted their life. And, you know, I'd like to hear that conversation. I mean, cause I'm not a man, so I didn't have that experience. And thankfully I wasn't female circumcised. Oh gosh, that would have been awful. But you know, if I had parents who were at least open to hearing those ideas and cared about me and wanted, loved me, wanted the best for me, cared about my experiences, You bet I would tell them, hey, I didn't appreciate this. I think you made a mistake in doing this. Or maybe I wouldn't say it like that, but, you know, I didn't appreciate having this done to me. I couldn't consent. I would have really preferred to have you have left me alone until I could make that decision myself and then made it. And, you know, I think if parents really did care about their kids and they heard the kids say that, I think they would probably empathize and say, oh gosh, we're so sorry, we just did what we thought was the best thing. And
probably.
You know, and maybe they would even tell other parents around them to, you know, hey, this is what happened to my son, maybe you should leave your son alone.
Could be.
So, okay, so the question asker goes on, clearly any reasons given for circumcision are unfounded. And I don't know if I would go that far that they're unfounded, because some of them are faith-based, and, well, how can you really argue with that? Because
right.
it's not
they're,
based on any evidence.
They're unfounded based on reality, based on
yeah.
science, knowledge.
Yeah. But, yeah, and I think, you know, even these old ideas that it's unclean not to circumcise a baby boy, mm-hmm. or they're incapable of cleaning their genitalia without having it circumcised, is a load of baloney. I mean... look at all the pediatrics journals and they'll tell you that really there's no medical reason for having circumcision. It doesn't benefit them. There's maybe a very modest, very, very modest, I mean like 1 out of 1,000 decrease in the rate of urinary tract infections in young boys. However, it's offset by the risk that comes with any surgical procedure of bad reaction to the anesthetic, which they sometimes don't even use, or a slip-up in the operation and something gets mutilated even more or mangled or botched. I mean, if you look at our statistics in our previous episode that our medical doctor compiled, you know, there's even a slight risk of penile amputation from circumcision. I mean, how horrible would that be, and how much would that impact someone's life? So I don't think any parent would want that to happen to their boy. And yeah. Okay, so let's go on to the next part of the question. According to some statistics, infant circumcision rates in the U.S. are falling. However, I'd like that the rate fall to zero everywhere. What really upsets me, and here, I agree. What really upsets me is that people say that the infant doesn't feel pain when being circumcised. If you have ever seen video or pictures of a circumcision, you know that these people are clearly talking out of their rear end. Yeah. And I wouldn't say it that way, but I certainly agree. It's obvious that the baby is feeling pain. And I think most parents don't want their babies to feel pain, right?
Yeah, but again, if you believe in God and God said to do this, then you might justify
it by sacrifice.
saying, well, it's a little pain now for a lifetime, for an afterlife of
heaven.
Pain. Yes, whatever.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That's, I wonder how many people actually believe that.
I don't know. I don't want to know them.
Yeah, I know. It's like, wow, really? You couldn't get into heaven if you have a foreskin and your body, which just disappears when you die. Anyway, yeah, it doesn't even make sense to talk about it. But yeah, clearly they are feeling pain. And it kind of brings up the other issue. Like, if you cause pain to someone else, but they don't remember it, is that unethical? And I think, yeah, I don't think it's good.
I mean, otherwise, you'd have this scenario. You could kidnap someone and anesthetize them or, you know, put them to sleep and beat them senseless and then, you know, leave them in a park. They wouldn't remember it.
Yeah. Well, they would probably feel pain afterwards. So,
then you could heal them back.
Yeah. That's true.
Anyway.
So, okay. Then the question asker goes on. I believe the relationship between a parent and child is tainted in the first hours of life for people who are circumcised. I don't know what he means by that, but maybe he's referring to the bond that forms between a mother and baby, like right after they're born. And if the baby is in pain, then maybe he can't bond as well. I'm not really sure about that. But certainly, you know, the emotional scars later in life in knowing that a parent was willing to cut off a part of your body would interfere with bonding, probably. I'm thinking.
I don't know. I mean, I understand the idea that you're saying. It makes sense. But, you know, I was circumcised when I was who knows how little.
Yeah.
And I wonder how many people are just like me in that, well, I never even thought about it. I mean, long after I was logical and autonomous and whatever, and knew what a penis was and a foreskin was and didn't blah, blah, long after that did I even bother to think, oh, well, I was cut off without my permission. It's just something that happened in life. Mm-hmm. It's not good or right, but just wasn't even thought of.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it seems like maybe a lot of people are like that, for sure.
Probably.
Okay, so then the question asker continues. If parents are full of it on the subject of circumcision, what other subjects are they full of it on? Good question.
Yeah,
and that's it's true. It's a rhetorical question, but yeah, very astute.
Or another way to look at that same thing is, if they're willing to cut off your foreskin for no reason, what else are they willing to do? I mean, without your permission.
Send you to the government for 15,000 hours? Government school?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, send you to the government to go get killed overseas.
Oh, yeah.
Kill people. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. So then the last question asker's points are...
Wait, I'm sorry. 15,000 hours?
That's the statistic I've heard. Yeah, 15,000 hours.
Interesting. I bet
I guess we could calculate this out. Yeah.
Government demands like X hours of education each year, and they go to school for
and
so
a certain
many
number
years.
Of days every year.
Okay, so anyway, question asker goes on.
So then he wraps up by saying, what are your views on circumcision? And I think we've covered them pretty well. And then he says, how could parents in this day and age be so clueless or heartless? Thank you for taking this on. And then the P.S., Stephanie, does I has good grammar.
And he spelled stuff wrong.
Yeah. I thought that was cute. Yes. Thank you for the little shout out to my grammar anarchy episode, which I have still yet to be therapized on
that,
by the way. I would like that. Therapize me. Pork therapize me.
I want to tangent on another pet peeve of mine.
Okay.
Day and age. First of all, he said day in age instead of day and age.
Yeah, but, so you does not has good grammar. That's to answer your question.
But the phrase, I don't know, why do I not like the phrase in this day and age? Because it's redundant and people say it because they've heard it and they don't think about what it means. In this age, who talks like that? Who says that?
Well, it's ironic because the phrase in this day and age is kind of antiquated. It yeah. makes me think of something in like an old lady would say. Yeah,
in this day and age. In which old people would have said in another day and age.
In this day and age, all the kids are on their cell phones.
And if you just
yeah.
And if you just think about what you're saying in this day and age, or you could be, you know, just change the words to have the same meaning. You could be saying in this day and these days.
Yeah.
Or, you know, these days and today. Why? Stop.
You know what other phrases like that for me?
What?
By and large.
By
what
and
the
large.
Hell does yeah. that mean? By and large. By and large. It's just nonsensical. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I want to look that one up now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for asking the question. Thank you for thinking about the question.
Yes.
I'm glad you have the opinion about circumcision that you do.
Absolutely. Okay, so thanks for listening to our episode tonight.
If you have a question about anything relationship-oriented,
give us a call at 419-PT-LOVE-4 or give us an email.
Questions@porktherapy.com.
Like how I flipped that around.
You switched it up on me.
We got to keep some variety in our routine, you know. All right, thanks for listening,
Indeed.
And we'll see you next time. Right. Porktherapy.com in the meantime. And may the foreskin be with you.
They're two crazy porks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy, scatterly debop, shabadooey.